Welcome to Awareness of the Soul with your host, Vincent Sandy. Welcome to Bangkok, Los Angeles, New York, Italy, UK, Europe, Mexico, China. I've got lots of listeners from everywhere in the world, and I really thank you warmly for tuning in. And me, myself, I'm somewhere on an island, as somebody wrote, on an island somewhere. Well, I don't live on an island, actually. I go there very often to teach yoga, but I live in the city because sometimes we need to meet people. But I go there quite often, like twice a month. I spend half of the time on an island and half of the time in the city. And that is absolutely fantastic. It gives me that balance to go within when it's time to go within and to go without when it's time to go out. And this is great. So today's topic is the purpose of our practices. It is a great topic. There's a lot to talk about actually here. I'm not going to give specific amazing technique because what I want to talk about today is what these techniques are for. Okay? And if you want to have a session with me on air, if you want to give me a call, it's 888-815-9756, and I always welcome your email. Please remember, you can write me at livejoy, actually write me at vincent@thelifecatalyst.com, vincent@thelifecatalyst.com, and I'll be there to reply to all your email as soon as I can, depending on the load of emails that I receive, obviously, but I really try my best to email back to everyone. And so let's move on to the topic today. Today is the purpose of our practices, and I wanted to talk about this in particular because we've been talking in all our shows that now have been, I don't know how many, but many of them, we've been talking about practices, techniques, how-tos, okay, how to do this, how to do that, how can you... And I have it here. I don't know if I read some of the titles of the radio shows that we've been going through, okay? Last time it was Vehicles of Change, how to have vehicles, how to use vehicles of the mind to move from one reality to another. We explored super concept psychology, what it is and why it is important in life. We understood how to nurture love. And I gave you some of my favorite meditations, and then I told you how to create space in order to welcome new realities into your life, how to live spontaneously from your own center of goodness, and I gave you techniques of symbols through the power of dreams, how to live a joyous life, what are the benefits of yoga, transcendence, and success. I mean, there are lots of stuff, and in every one of these topics, in every one of these episodes, I gave you so many techniques. And all this is absolutely great, but what I want you to understand is that these techniques are obviously just tools that eventually will have to be given up, okay? At some point, you will get to a stage when you are achieving something, when you get to the point where those techniques and practices have served their purpose. Therefore, you don't need to be obsessed by them anymore. This is what I want to say, especially. You don't need to be obsessed by them, but what you need to do is to finally enjoy the result. You know what I mean? Why are you doing all this? I mean, you're doing all this because you want to get to a place, and we're going to talk about that. You want to get to a place where you actually can live freely, and this is what the purpose of all these techniques is about, okay? And then, yes, techniques build power, and this is true. And when they build power, sometimes we are tempted to get so much into the technique because I say, I never had so much power in my life. I never felt so alive in my life. This feels so good. This feels so amazing. And then we get attached to the technique to the point that it becomes a burden. And so many of us, you know, we get really... if we see that something gives us pleasure or puts us in a position that it's better than before, of course we can use it, but we get so much attached to it to the point where we start creating barriers. And this is where then separation from me and you, from different kinds of religions, from different kinds of sects inside the same religion start. What you do is the best. It gives me so much. What you do it's just not good enough compared to what I do. Therefore, we have to, it's better to break up. And no, the purpose of these practices instead is to bring you to that place of unity. And because if they don't do that, then they don't bring you freedom. I mean, techniques are there to help you bring freedom. If they bind you into a little box, into your own cocoon, into your own little room, and where you cannot move out, then they're not serving their purpose anymore. Actually, what they will do is they will serve their purpose until to a certain point, and then your ego or your own selfish motives will come up again to bring it down, because you cannot accept to the point where your ego starts to die, let's say. That's not the right word, because the ego really doesn't die. The fact is that the ego feels that it's losing its power. And this is important. At some point, it loses its power. And we are not aware of what's happening 100% before we fall into this trap. We feel that it loses its power, and in order to stay present, it will get attached to something. It will say, I need this technique, I need this practice in order to stay alive. Because, you know, he wants to impose his will of life. And once we become aware of this, then what we can do is say, listen, you're not going to die. You're going to be there. So we allow ourselves to be free again. In other words, the ego is the part of ourselves, the individualized spirit within ourselves. And once we are understanding this, then we can say, that is the spark within me that will never die, but it doesn't need to have a personal identity or a separate nature out of the universe. So that's how we're going to find freedom. And techniques help. Yes, they are great. They are tools. Okay? Exactly. And I say that many times. Why are they needed? They are needed because if you are unhappy in your life, if you feel something is missing, of course, nothing is missing. You will see that nothing is missing. You have everything at some point. You will see. Sometimes I feel myself totally happy and realized. And then when I look at what I have done, and I haven't done anything that I was supposed to be doing. But I'm happy, and there's no real reason. And the fact is that we are already complete. That's fine. Life is fine. Life is okay. You're fine where you are. But if you feel like you're not happy, if you feel like there's something missing, at that point you need a tool to get back to your own natural state. And this is true, just in the same way that if you break a leg, you need physiotherapy. You need a cure to bring your leg back to its natural state. And so this is the case for techniques, practices, spirituality. They are tools to bring you back where you are. So the purpose of all practice is just this. And when we get lost in the forest of conceptual thinking, of morality, of dogma and stuff, we're actually, first of all, nurturing separation between us and another being, because anybody who doesn't live to our own dogma, to the level of our own dogma, then is not acceptable. And of course, God is a God of inclusion. It includes everyone. God is in everyone, and He loves everyone, right? And everybody can say that. And we are made on His image. Before, the only difference between a person who is self-realized and a person who is not self-realized is that the person remembers how to live in his own natural state, and you still don't because of all this conceptual thinking. Now, what is the right Dhamma? What is the right way of living? What is the right morality we have to live up to? These are all concepts that need to be abandoned. I would say if you don't hurt yourself and you don't hurt other people, you can live it to any level you want to. Because all the rest are just dots on a scale. Either from one side or from the other side. There are opposites at work in this life, and where our mind places an object inside this scale, then the mind identifies it. And if the mind identifies it, then it can find some peace. That's why sometimes we need to identify things in order to have some peace. And then that's also why most people need to identify a figure of divinity so that they can relax and say, this is God. And now through this God, I can find my own freedom. But who's, if you think about it, that image of God is present within yourself. All these gods, goddesses, and even the figures that we want to relate to as divine, those are part, those are aspects of the consciousness of God. And you can perceive it because you retain the same consciousness within you. Before you attune yourself to that part of God's consciousness, and then you realize God. So the purpose of all these practices is just to bring you back to your natural state. And one of the things that is we need to be careful, you know, because today there's a whole bunch of beautiful acts, actually, because I really like it. I am a fan. But at the same time, you need to have that discernment. There's a whole new wave of New Age Uranian, if we want to talk in astrological symbols, way of living, which is also good because they give inspiration, they give us new perspectives. But you also need to have some kind of discernment because you have to understand where everything is really spiritual and where something is not so spiritual. There's a lot of filters between the light of God and whatever comes here. So what the purpose is not for, first of all, the purpose of all these practices, and we have, as we've said, they build power, they build freedom, and they are good tools for living. But the purpose is not to become rich, for example. Because in order to have more, you need to be more. If you are more in your spirit, then all around you will start to become abundant and rich. If you do the opposite, in the opposite way, I want to be rich before I do become spiritual and do practices that bring me abundance, then you're doing things in the reverse order, because the basic motivation that pushes you towards the spiritual practice is a selfish one, which is against the practice itself. It's against the main principle itself. Before, in order to become rich, you have to be rich in your soul. And once you're rich in your soul, you don't really, you know, you will get to a point where you will not really be interested in really becoming rich at 100%. And that will happen, when that will happen, you will become rich automatically, because this strange law of the universe that says that in order to have something really in your life, you also have to be detached from it. And this is true. This is why many religions talk about detachment. In order to live freely, in order to live abundantly, you have to be detached. You need to be rich in your soul and know that these things are there. Your soul is in touch with the permanent reality that never changes. But all the things that you see in front of you are subjected to the highs and lows of creation, to the highs and lows of life. Therefore, whatever you see, either a person in front of you, either an object, a house, a car, they will be subjected to change. Maybe there's something that will happen, you will lose what you have. And what happens? What will happen at that point? Where are you? Also, when you will die, you will have to lose everything, right? You cannot bring your house with you. And in ancient Egypt, you know, they used to, it was a ritual, it was a symbol. They used to put the pharaoh when he was dead inside the pyramid with all the riches and some servants poor them, okay? They thought that all these riches and the servants would go with the... with the king. When eventually the servants would go with the king because they would die, obviously. I don't know if they would go with the king to serve him also after that. But what I mean is all the riches were still there. Okay? They're not following you. You will have yourself. You will have your soul. Whatever would happen in your inner landscape that will follow you after death. So the purpose is not to become rich materially, the purpose is to become rich spiritually. And once you are rich spiritually, you can't help it. You will have lots of stuff around you. As in the, if you start living for God, God takes care of you and He serves you. For example, this is one example. Once I was, when I was a monk in India, and I remember that I didn't even have money for anything over there, really. But at some point I needed some socks, and I had just a very small amount of money. And I went around to look at these socks and said, well, listen, I went to the shop of my community, and I said to this girl, and my community had a very beautiful shop inside a mall, okay, the spiritual shop, they were selling beautiful books, etc. And I went there to the shop attendant there and said, I'm looking for some white socks, and I don't know where I could buy them over here. Can you please tell me where I could go? And she said, well, you should not buy them here at this mall because this is really expensive. But you know what? Brahmarupa was my spiritual name. Just yesterday, I received from my sister a lot of white socks. Therefore, I'm going to give some of them to you. This is absolutely a sign that you're here. And therefore, it's obvious that I have to give some of them to you. And that happens all the time as soon as you start living in God from your own center. Wherever you go, you will find support for whatever you need, Therefore, spirituality is to become spiritual. The purpose of all this practice is to become established in your own inner richness. And this is absolutely important because if you don't have the ground upon which any other kind of richness can be built, it will eventually dissolve. So why are you wasting your time days and days and hours and months and years and years and years of work if you don't gain that consciousness, if you don't gain the spirit of richness within you? Because it will eventually fade. Also, what is your life based upon? If you have all relationships around you based on richness that are worldly, let's say something happens, the market crashes, right? What have you left? All your relationships, all your friends would eventually move away from you. And this happens to so many people. Relationships that are based on beauty externally. Then you grow old, or maybe you need an operation, and then there's a scar on your face, and then maybe, couples. The man has a lot of money, the woman is so beautiful. They get married, they have a fantastic life. Until the market crashes and the man loses all his riches, or a lot of them, and the woman needs to have an operation. And their relationship goes really much down. What is based upon? If it is not based on the richness of the soul, on true love, on the true purpose of life, it will all fade away. Therefore, the purpose of all the practices is not to become rich, is not to become abundant, is to become, is to be more, is to be rich in the soul, is to be a great soul. That is what is important. And once you are a great soul, you will be filled with so much joy, with so much happiness, that you will not care anymore about what's happening into your life. And whatever happens, of course, you will take actions towards what's right to do. You will be guided at this point, but you will be filled with so much joy, and God will help you. God is there present, and this is a doorway that you have to pass yourself. You need to have really that sincere. You have to get at some point to a place where you are sincering, and you sincerely offer yourself to God completely, and then at that point, God enters into your life and He takes care of it. Just more than enough. Now, another reason why many people are doing spiritual practices today, obviously, is to have, so basically, worldly accomplishments, let's say. Now, what these practices, what the purpose of these practices is not. It's to win over other people on personal matters. To prove yourself that you are greater than them. To prove yourself that you deserve more than them. That you are so much more wise than them. It is not about that. It is not about you relating to some other people to show that you are more worth of other people's attention or even a promotion. It's not about this thing. Some people practice because they want to become full of light, and wherever they go, they can shine and the people can look at them and say, wow, this is amazing, this is fantastic. I mean, these things are things that eventually would happen. I mean, you cannot cook a fantastic meal because of the smell, right? You cook the fantastic meal because it's delicious and it's great to taste it, it's great to eat it, and it's nutritious, right? It's not because of the smell. So all this light, all this magnetism, all this charisma that will eventually fall down on you is just an after effect of you being a great soul. Otherwise, what most people do is they try to suck light into themselves until they burst, and then there's something wrong within them because they need to show up that light, and you will see what they're showing up is not themselves, it's their ego. And therefore, they start saying, it's not me, it's all God coming through me, it's all me, it's all God coming through me. But what they're actually living is they're trying to live a life, they're trying to have a revenge over their own life. And you need to be aware, if you see yourself that you're going to that direction, that is called spiritual arrogance, where you put yourself in front of the teachings. And the spiritual practices are not to give you the power to get arrogant enough in order to spread this teaching, to spread your own light on others. Even in the spiritual environment, okay, this minister is better than the other, this religion is better than the other, I have much more light than you have, or inside, I am a minister and you are just new. All these things, just give it up. The soul that is in front of you is a pure soul, is a soul of the spirit. The only reason why it doesn't smell like you is because it fell in the mud. Now, if he has a shower, he starts shining again. Therefore, you don't have the right to do anything, because the moment you start doing that, you show your own mud. Imagine a child coming to you, he fell in the mud, and you start criticizing him, or you start feeling superior because you didn't fall in the mud. At some point, what is it? That is obviously ridiculous, right? Therefore, you start to show the mud that you have yourself. So the purpose of this, I hope this is clear. I mean, it is not, it could be subtle, but I think it's quite clear. It is not about winning over other people. It is not about even gathering knowledge. When you gather knowledge, eventually the knowledge will need to be given up because it will stay at the level of the mind all the time. So the more you gather knowledge, the more you need to use that as a tool, the more you have to make that yours. Try to gather knowledge. Try to absorb it. Try to make it part of your consciousness as a way to expand your consciousness in a more universal way. But then you need to be able to give it up, because if you start conceptualizing, you remain at the level of the mind, you can never go behind mind. The mind, you see, still needs to classify things into the two sides of opposites. Therefore, it remains in the world of duality where everything changes. Therefore, you have to give up the knowledge as well. It is not being on the right way. It is not about avoiding the bad way. It is not about living morally. What is living the right way? Living the right way is living as your true nature is. Okay, it is not about living, avoiding the bad way. The bad way is just the way that takes you away from your own nature. and it is not the same for two people on this planet. Living morally, according to whom? To what concept? To what dogma? To what ideas? Nothing is a problem if you don't make it a problem. And this is an important point. And especially if it doesn't hurt yourself or others. It is not about separating yourself from others, okay? Separation of classes, kinds of people, creed, color, sexuality. It is not about separation. It is about inclusion. If you will be free, if you will ever achieve a state of consciousness that brings all people together, all the universe together, it will give you great wisdom. All these opposites will be living within you at the same time. You will be aware of them absolutely at the same time. Therefore, you cannot start separating yourself from them. You're just going the opposite direction where you're supposed to go. Confusion. Usually, when too many practices are mixed together, we stimulate the senses, and then that creates confusion. Therefore, there is a need for clarity, okay? Now, what is important here is to understand that all the tools we've been talking about, we've been given here, they are tools to help you understand where you want to go, understand how, what's working for you, and use it. Now, what the purpose is of this, of all these practices, is to bring love instead of fear. And this is the greatest struggle that we have to win in our life. And this is in everyone's life. We are living the struggle, each one of us, between fear and love. The purpose here is to win over fear with love. To learn to put love exactly where before fear was prospering. And now to make love prosper instead of fear. No matter what, to learn to win the struggle of life between fear and love and make love win. To bring clarity instead of confusion. And to find happiness. This is the purpose of the practices. It is not about being powerful. It is not about being a master. It is about finding happiness. Don't do things in order to be happy. Don't do the practices anymore in order to be happy. Be happy in order to live and in order to do things. So basically it's reversing the process. To start living from the level of true happiness and then do things. And just give up whatever contracts your heart. To be able to discern and to be able to have enough courage to give up what we thought would bring us happiness. If I have a fantastic car, that would bring me happiness. But if you don't start working on getting that car from a level of true happiness, you will not be happy when you will have that car. Because if you're not happy until that point, how can you think that you internally have the mechanism to start being happy? And what is about? Finally, all these practices are about helping you to find your purpose, your dharma in life, your life purpose. We were born to be successful in our dharma. Sometimes we want to force success on ourselves from the perspective of somebody else. But we have to understand that once we start living our own nature and we reside in it and we start being happy in it and joyful in it, then we start emanating presence, and our presence become absolutely of natural benefit to other people. And here is the example that I would like to share with you. And the example is easy. I think I wanted to talk about this later, but I'm going to tell you now. And the example is easy. Just think of the sun. The sun doesn't do anything. It just is. But when it comes up, on the sky, everything starts moving. Everybody starts waking up, going to work, the shops open, the flowers get energy, and day is beautiful, and everything is, all the day is existing because of the sun, and all these activities are happening because of the sun is rising. But the sun in itself doesn't do anything. It is just present. It is just living its own dharma. Okay? No one of us goes up to the sun to say, this is a little bit of the food that I've prepared today because of you. Thank you. Please eat it. Because the sun doesn't eat from its fruits. And it's like a tree. Also, the tree is just living its dharma. It doesn't eat from its fruit. It grows. It is an expression of life. It gives fruits that then other people will eat. And that's its dharma. So therefore, you too, at some point, you will be an expression of life. You will start living your own purpose, and you will be of natural benefit for other people, exactly in the same way. And if you are an apple tree, and you see that there's another tree that serves another beautiful purpose, you cannot force yourself to become a lemon tree, you know what I mean? You are an apple tree. You have to live your own purpose. You can learn from other people, yes. But then you have to bring it back to yourself and understand what it is, the path, what is the path that I'm following now, and where am I going? And okay, so maybe I can learn from this person certain amount of knowledge, a certain amount of methods that will help me in my discovery of my own purpose. And forget about what the other person is doing. Sometimes they appear to be perfect and they're not. And this is where we compare our own internal life with their external life. And this comparison is destructive because everyone more or less is able at some point to appear perfect in front of somebody else. That doesn't mean that they are. Okay? So what are these practices about? It's about learning to live. It is not about knowledge. It's not about knowing the chakras. It's not about, these are all just tools. Well, we have our tools. The tools are necessary, as I said, but their aim is to get us to a place where we are able to live. So basically, we should have, as we do the practices, an idea of what we want. And once we get there, we know that the tool has served its purpose, and it's time to let it go. And sometimes, we don't even need to have that idea, we need just to want to get to a place of total freedom. Because if we have an idea, then we are directing our experience again to what we can understand, which is obviously necessary, because if you drive a car, you have to be able to go through the sign, read the signs and go through them, and then you need to use your mind. But at some point, you will have to give up the signs to get to the destination. And it's about learning to live. I remember when I was living inside that community, and the community is a very beautiful community. I've met many people all around the world. The fact is that one day, there was one person that needed to go to a school outside the community, okay? And the person was really scared. They said, why are you scared? And she said, well, because, you know, we've been living in the community and it's such a fantastic place. The problem is that I'm afraid that now I'll go there and I will find problems because those people are not going to be pure as we are, and et cetera, et cetera. First of all, I thought, well, yes, I understand you, but now you've been here for such a long time, I'm sure that you will be fine. The fact is, then I thought about it even more, and I thought, why are we living in a community then? Because, I mean, living in a community is great because you support people with the same kind of mind, and you support each other towards spiritual growth, but at the same time, if those tools don't teach you how to live, then you're just living inside a glass, aren't you? You're just living inside a place where everything is fake. In other words, you need to be able to live under any circumstance, to have the strength and spirit of the soul. that wherever you go, you're able to come back to your center. If all these years of living in that community and being spiritually practical, let's say, didn't bring you that probably you have failed your purpose. Or maybe you were not able to understand that that was the purpose, and then before you lived another purpose in it. And what's the purpose of the spiritual practice? It's to teaching you how to live in an authentic way. It's how to be authentic. How to start life from a place of absolute authenticity and live from there. So be able to navigate also under all conditions, no matter where you are, no matter what kind of place, which kind of place you're living, understanding, have that detachment, have the spiritual strength within you. They will make you understand what stage you're in, and will make you understand the bigger picture behind it, because you can detach yourself. The Yong Sa technique is great for this, because at some point it will really help you to move beyond the layers of duality and make you see your reality wherever you are, and that will be fantastic. We'll help you to do that. The symbolism of that practice is to bring you home naturally. And this technique, I've explained it many times, but remember, this is a tool. In fact, when they say, when you reach that place, and I will tell you what this place is, then you forget about the technique, you just go with it. Because the technique is a tool to take you there. Okay? The technique consists in just closing your eyes and staying with your spine straight and muscles relaxed. You look internally with your eyes closed up. You look up as if you were looking away at a distance and maybe on the top of a mountain. And you look at the point between the eyebrows. You focus your awareness there and you look through this point. You look through this point. And then you start observing your breath coming in and out on its own accord without you trying to change it or manipulate it, as you keep your mind and attention fixed at the point between the eyebrows. And what happens there, at some point you will feel the old thoughts will tend to disappear and know that it's absolutely safe to let them go. Because you will retain your awareness, you will be alert and aware. Therefore, you don't need those thoughts that will actually bind you to a certain reality. You just let it go. The awareness is all that is necessary. So keep your awareness in the mind's eye, the point between the eyebrows, and observe your breath coming in and out. And then you add the sound hong as the breath goes in and saw as the breath goes out. Hong saw. What is beautiful with this technique is that after some time, the inhalation and the exhalation will become very short, and the pauses between the breaths will become larger and larger, and those are moments of freedom. In fact, the in-breath and the out-breath are symbols of the opposites within ourselves. The in-breath is one opposite going in one direction, the out-breath is going in the opposite direction. Therefore, when this stops, we get to our natural state. And when this has to stop naturally, it will stop naturally. When that happens, you have to forget about the technique and you just start relaxing in the most authentic part of you. At the beginning, you will not be able to feel it completely. But if you get to a really quiet state of mind, you will start feeling it. And you will bring that, you will touch the layer, the shadow layer that is really much in tune with the infinity. And the layer can go at some point when you start seeing yourself as a dot in the universe. And that can happen. And the layer goes, and you, when you come back after the meditation, will bring the sense of peace, the sense of you being yourself as you really are without having to do anything about it. And that's when you start living your dharma, your purpose. That's when you're able to navigate through life, okay? You'll be able also to bring things into completion. You will be able to have that creative spark of initiative within you that will help you to move forward towards a certain point. This is absolutely important. The ability to think beyond your limitations. So this is why all these techniques are necessary. And ultimately, you will understand life's true value. And it is just this, that all life is sacred. All life is holy. All life is sacred. Because it all comes from the same consciousness of God, and bad or good are absolutely subjective unless they hurt something, unless they bring to a separation and between people, okay? Not based on their ego, but based on an act of separation that is close to the source. All life is sacred. All life comes from the same consciousness. Nothing is a problem if you don't make it a problem. God includes. He never excludes. Now, I would like to talk to you today about your life purpose. But first of all, let me tell you, please, if this is the first time you're tuning in, or you just tuned in, this is Awareness of the Soul with Vincent Sandee every Saturday night, 10 p.m. on BBS Radio. You can sign up for my mystical lessons. It's a newsletter, but I don't think it's really news. I think it's just mystical lessons. And you can do that by going on the homepage on BBS Radio, bbsradio.com, and then scroll the page down to the bottom, and you will see there's a beautiful box there that says Life-Changing Power, Mystical Lessons, and Free Report from the host Awareness of the Soul, Vincent Sandee. Click there and see what happens. Then you will be brought to a page where you can actually leave your email, sign up, and these lessons are absolutely life-changing. The title that I gave to them is Life-Changing Power, not because it is a marketing title. No, it's not for marketing, because I really believe this is what the lessons are. They are life-changing power. They'll tell you where you're at, where you're supposed to go. They will tell you methods that where you can take control, that you can use to take control of your life. They're absolutely invaluable. They are eternal. In 10 years from now, you will still read these lessons and find them useful, because they will never change their value. So it's a really good thing just to go there. It's my way also to give back, because I'm really giving so much into these lessons, really. And I really think they can help you to get to that natural state, to be you the creator of your own life instead of life creating you, okay? So just go there, bbsradio.com, the bottom of the page. And remember, you can go to my blog, and the blog is also full of great tools. The blog is thelifecatalyst.com/blog. Just go to this blog and see all these articles that are there. And most of the articles will be posted also on the main page of BBS Radio, because now they have a new section where they say that it's called, let me see if I get the name here, BBS Talk Radio Authors. And all the articles are listed there. But there are so many articles for so many authors over there. So anyway, remember just to go to thelifecatalyst.com/blog and tune into this radio show where I share with you methods and techniques to become aware, mystical lessons, mystical techniques to become aware of your own true life, to become you the master of your own life. And today I just want to remind you what the purpose of all this is. First of all, your life's purpose is what I want to talk now about. The life purpose is about living naturally. It's about living from a natural state, as I said before. And it's about living through your own talents. It's that simple. What are your talents? Your talents can be many. It can be just one. It depends. And it doesn't matter how you expressed that talent in the past. Okay? You can re-express it in different ways. You don't have to express it exactly as you expressed it when you were 12, when you were 15, when you were 17, okay? Now you're 40, and now you can express it in different ways. Absolutely. You don't have to go back to a state of consciousness that you have left behind now, that you have passed. But you have to live through your talents. You have to go to the core essence of your talents. And these talents are absolutely important to understand what they are. We'll talk about this a little bit later. Now, another thing is that when you learn, it's about living through your talents and also learning from other people's talents and include them into your stage in life. You don't have to become them. You don't have to be at their stage. You don't have to become their stage, their station in life. You are perfect what you are. You have to learn from their talents and understand what is the power force that drives them and see that power force within you. And in that way, you're learning. Is that clear? Your life purpose also is about bringing heaven on earth, understanding that all life is sacred, uniting the heaven and the earth, the cosmic man and the macrocosmic man and the microcosmic man. Okay? The universal man and the individual soul. Uniting these two things together, bringing the light of the universe, the light of God into this life. And in the way you help to do that, that's your life purpose. And you don't have to overthinking, because this will absolutely reveal itself as you start living naturally and expressing your talents. Then uniting in a way that is of benefit to people. And then uniting all sides of yourself. This is about your life purpose too. Uniting all sides of yourself, embracing them, embracing the good and the bad within you, and making them work together. How do you make them work together? Obviously, you bring them to a place of balance. When the good and the bad within you, the two sides of the same coin, come to a point of balance, you have united them. But also, united all sides of yourself means that you are a multi-level being and you have union of thought, action, and speech. What you think, you should be able to speak and act upon. Sometimes we are separated because we think in very quick waves of thoughts. We speak something else to hide it. Then we act something different. We are totally separated within our own self. Before, we need to be able to have one thought, speak it, then act it. And my idea upon how to achieve this is to do it on purpose first. Choose one thought, speak it, and act it. Now, obviously, you need to have a little bit of discernment. You cannot just think whatever and then speak it in front of people, and maybe hurt them and create more damage than good. Now, you need to be wise. In the case, you should not speak. Or try to direct your thought towards something that would help that person instead of hurting it, you know. And union of thought, action, and speech. Practice it anyway on your own. Say something, feel it, think it, act it, and try to feel that unity. It is really important, because when the union comes, you will be a complete person in yourself. That is the basis of your integrity. And your life purpose is what leads you. Living your life purpose will eventually lead you to a place of total freedom from perceptions while still being able to perceive. In other words, we perceive through the senses. We see, we hear, we talk, and we taste, we smell, everything. We are involved in perception, and the perception, of course, not just those of the senses, but also the intuitional subconscious ones, okay? We start perceiving things. And the problem is that we get lost in it. It's so simple. We'll be able to be free from that and at the same time still be able to perceive in its totality. Okay, so now we're moving to the last part of the show, and I would like to talk for a little bit about your talents, and then I will guide you through one of my favorite exercises. And this is about your talents. So what are your talents? How to understand them, really? So your talents are mostly not what yourself, what you have forced yourself into, but are things that are second nature to you. Because you know it, you were born with it, okay? And if you don't know, maybe you can ask your friends what they see you to be good at, or maybe you can ask yourself, what is your passion? Things in which you really excel naturally, easily, okay? What are these things? And these are your talents, things that are second nature to you. Then there are talents within you that maybe you have the spark, or maybe you have that spark, but you need some more commitment to develop. For example, maybe you have a good instinct for music, and that is second nature to you already, but that's not good enough to be a great musician. Therefore, you can develop the talent, because it is based on something you already have. You were born with it, you'll open that door to it. And by building on that talent, you're actually opening new doors too, automatically. So you see, new doors will open as you start opening it from what you already have. And another way to understand what your talents may be is to look at the unpleasant parts of your personality. What is really bad? Because, for example, people get angry really easily or get really moody, etc. This way of behaving, they usually hide a talent too. A person who might be extremely moody might be able to be hypersensitive, and if it starts to control the sensitivity, it could be a beautiful counselor, maybe a beautiful coach too, okay? It simply means that there's a lot of energy there. When something unpleasant comes out of you, there's a lot of energy there. And in astrology, there are these symbols of the squares that needs to be turned into trines. So there's a lot of energy there, and that means there's a square that needs to be turned into a trine. That means there needs to be control, sublimed, and directed towards something positive. And your talents are of natural benefit to others. People come out joyful. They have some sort of benefit. Remember of the sun, remember of the tree. Okay, now I will guide you to the last part of the show. I will guide you through an exercise. It's one of my favorite exercises, and it is extremely easy. And remember that it's a tool. So, when doing this exercise, don't worry about what happens, what images you see, if they seem to fit where you are now or not. It is the symbols that we're looking for. We're looking for the symbols, the modalities upon which you might act that will mostly come up. These are just indicators. And at the same time, they could be a real wake-up calls. Of course, it depends on. It all depends on the person, okay? So let's start this technique. Let's start this meditation practice. And close your eyes, sit with your spine straight and your muscles relaxed, and breathe in deeply, 3 times. Breathe in through your nose and breathe out through your mouth. Breathe again, breathe in deeply, and out. Do it 3 times. Breathe in, and out. Relax your throat, relax the medulla oblongata, the back of the neck, in conjunction with the skull, and bring your attention on the forehead, the mind's eye, visualizing a screen. Take your time, go to the place within yourself that is secret, nobody knows. That is the secret room and your secret screen. When you can probe about your life, Now I want you to look at this screen and visualize a beautiful timeline, a line, the stars on the left side when you were born and ends on the right side when you will pass to a different stage, to a different realm, to a different world. The timeline starts when you pass from the other stage into this planet. Then the timeline is about your life on this planet. And then it ends when you will leave this planet to go somewhere else. Now go at some point at the beginning of the line, and maybe at the age when you were 8, 9, or even 12. Bring yourself to a time when you were conscious about your life and your future, and when you were starting to have dreams. And now just try to go back there. Bring an image of yourself there, leave it, see yourself there. How did you look into your future from there? Just think about it for a moment. What did you expect to live as you grew older? What did you expect to live as you grew older? And what inspired you? Don't judge, just be present. Be there. And once you get some answer, and of course you can repeat this exercise for a longer time, then send blessings with the consciousness you have now to your path in front of you. Bring light into the timeline from where you are now. And come back. Now look at the timeline again. And go, let's say, at a point in life when you have done all that you had to do and you have just a few years before you move on to another planet or to another place or to another realm before you leave this planet. And now go there. And look at your life from the back, from that point in the future. What legacy have you left? What satisfying works have you done? And if you, for any reason, you find then you haven't left anything, then just ask yourself, what legacy do you wish to live? What satisfying works would you like to have done? How have you helped people? How have you done so in the most natural way possible for you? Don't worry. Don't force yourself into a career. Don't force yourself into what you've studied. Just answer honestly. Just let it come. If it doesn't come the first time, repeat it different times and send blessings to your path behind you. And come back, seeing the timeline, letting it disappear, gently letting it go. Breathe in deeply and breathe out. Breathe in once more and breathe out again through the mouth. Breathe in again, and breathe out. And now gently open your eyes. And thank you for listening to Awareness of the Soul with Vincent Sandy. I'll be back next week, same time, same place. Sign up for the newsletter, Life-Changing Power Newsletter, on the homepage of BBS Radio. Go down and click on the ad that says Life Changing Power Newsletter, and you will be brought to a page where you can actually sign up. Thank you for listening to Awareness of the Soul, and I'll talk to you next week. Bye.